Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sandy, and good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. It's great to see each and every one of you. This is my first Sunday back with you since Christmas Eve. Not that it was that long ago, but it feels like last year. But seriously, such a joy to see each of you, and for Megan, for your great sermon that I was able to see online last week. And she gave a shout out to some of the people that have just made the Christmas season wonderful. And so thank you. And I'm looking at a lot of our strong choir members out there in the sanctuary that we'll look forward to having you back. You can clap. They worked so hard, as always, and it'll be a joy to have them back in worship with the choir singing next week. Again, I'm glad to be with all of you, and I do hope that you've had a good start to your 2024. Last week, I enjoyed soaking up a lot of time with my family. I went to sleep several nights in a row without setting an alarm clock. I read a good book, I ate a lot of good food, and I watched more TV in the last 5 days than I probably have in the last 5 months altogether. And one of the shows that I watched over the last week streams on Disney, and it's called Percy Jackson. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe some of you have heard of it or even watched it. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, that's okay. It probably just means that you don't live with a young person who's into Percy Jackson. Percy is the main character in a series by Rick Riordan, who has written over 20 books for young readers, many of them making the New York Times best-selling list. Percy Jackson and the Olympians tells the adventures of people in Greco-Roman stories. For starters, Percy is a boy who discovers that he's a demigod, also called a half-blood, which means that one of his parents is a mortal and the other parent is a god, in this case, specifically Poseidon. Watching these shows took me back to high school English, and I have to say I was quite impressed with myself that I was able to recall all of this information about Greek and Roman mythology that I learned all those years ago. The names of gods and goddesses and other major players and their various traits and characteristics, it came back to me. Medusa with her head full not of hair but of hissing snakes, and shoes that Hermes had that allowed him to fly. And then there is this god named Janus. Janus is the god of beginnings and endings, the god of transitions and doorways, and he is depicted with two faces on the same head. One face is looking forward to what is ahead of him, while the other face in the back of his head is looking backwards at all that's taken place up until this point. As I think about that two-headed face, or two-faced head, it serves as a good metaphor to me here at the beginning of a new year. As a new year stretches before us, 2024 is a good time to reflect on everything that's taken place up to this moment and to look forward, anticipating all that may occur ahead. In fact, side note, Janus, the Roman god Janus, is where we get our word January from at the beginning of a new year. It can be a challenge to live in this push and pull between the past and the future, perhaps almost as uncomfortable as living with two faces. And I always felt this, I experienced this in my own life, especially when I was in college. You see, at the end of a semester, I was so eager for finals to end. I was so ready, anxious to get back home to my familiar surroundings of my childhood home and my family. And then as soon as I put my first load of laundry in the washing machine, I'd be eager to get back to college campus to venture out into the newness of a new semester and see what adventures awaited me. The late novelist Carson McCullers describes this feeling like this. He says, it is a curious emotion, this certain homesickness that I have in mind. It is no simple longing for the hometown or country of our birth. The emotion is Janus-faced. He uses that term, Janus. The emotion is Janus-faced, and we are torn between the nostalgia for the familiar and the urge for the strange and the foreign and the new. As often as not, we are homesick most for the places we have never known. We are homesick most for the places we have never known. I believe that's the feeling that motivated the Magi to set out on their journey all those years ago. They left the familiar and all the trappings of feeling in control to experience something new. This Sunday, of course, is known as Epiphany Sunday, meaning manifestation or appearance. And it is a time at the beginning of a new year to look ahead at what's on the horizon, to open ourselves to that something new that stirs within us. The journey of the Magi provides helpful pointers for those of us engaged in our own spiritual journey. For we serve a God who is forever calling us into new beginnings. Think about it, the very first book of the Bible opens in the beginning. And then John's gospel, which we hear on Christmas Eve each year, begins in the beginning. The prophet speaks on behalf of God, proclaiming, "See, I am making all things new." I wonder what the something new is that awaits us here at University UMC. And here at UUMC, I hope we do look out on this new year, look out on the horizon, with that type of homesickness that propels us to dream and to go to places we've never gone before. Next week, our district superintendent, Reverend Dr. Marcus Freeman, will be with us as a guest preacher. And we will remember our baptism or anticipate our baptism. And we will also stay in the sanctuary following worship for what we Methodists call a brief church conference, where we will vote on a statement that comes from our racial justice task force. It's a statement that's already been approved by our church council and that we anticipate with joy being approved by the church body. You can read more about this in the eConnection and on our website. Adopting such a statement is a part of the resolution that was set forth from this church as years ago you began digging deep into that work of anti-racism. When we adopt this statement, it doesn't mean that we check the box and say, okay, now we're done with our anti-racism work, on to the next thing. No, right? Instead, it's a commitment. It's a commitment to renew ourselves continually in this work that is ongoing. Interesting fact, when Percy Jackson was being made into a TV series, author Rick Riordan faced tremendous backlash because not all of the key characters and actors and actresses were white, as some readers had assumed they would be. Riordan engaged his critics by asking them to confront their own racism. And he named that as a white person, he was committed to being about his own anti-racism work. You see, this author, he has been on a journey. His own son, years ago, was diagnosed as ADHD and dyslexic, and that was the driving force behind Riordan's decision to portray the main character, Percy, as neurodivergent. He writes, "The core message of Percy has always been that difference is a strength. There is power in plurality, and you should never judge somebody by how well they fit into your preconceived notions." Friends, I don't know about you, but I know that God has ongoing work to do with me and in my own heart. Here at the start of a new year, we renew our vision to dreaming of that kind of world where diversity is seen as a good and powerful force, dreaming of a world filled with justice and peace, and acting for it to be so.